Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. As Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass, smooth jazz. Brendan Cunningham's here today saying real estate is cool. As far as I know, we're going to talk about things that have to do with real estate that don't have to do with real estate, some things that are cool, some things that are not cool. In the news right now, as far as I know, in 716 land, a lot of people talking about the closing of Bedi College and Trocare College. It was supposed to merge. I think Trocare was supposed to buy Bedi or the other way around, and next thing you know, now no one's buying anybody, and that's it. Two small colleges are going to bite the dust in 716 land, which is a shame because I think small colleges are really the stuff of education in the United States. The big universities, they have their place, and certainly universities are more geared toward research than colleges, which are geared toward education. But Bedi was a great school. I was an adjunct professor there for a while when we were dealing with leadership and organizational change. And Trocare is certainly a wonderful school. But, hey, now they're gone. So I was listening to Beamer on WBEN Radio driving into the office today. And he was talking about resumes and getting your resume updated. And you know, is your resume updated? And somebody called in and said, listen, I haven't used a resume and I can't remember how long. I'm a plumber. He says, I go from job to job and people know my work. And his thesis at the time, Beamer, was, well, you know, you really should have your resume up to speed because you never know when all of a sudden you're going to get a knock on the door that says, hey, we're not in business anymore. It happens. It happened in spades. I wasn't here for it. 40 years ago when the steel mills closed and you literally had tens and tens of thousands of people that woke up one morning and didn't have jobs. And they had to do what they needed to do to make sense out of what their lives were. It totally changed the economic complexion of a lot of the steel towns, like Pittsburgh. They had to bounce back. They had to figure out what they needed to do. And most of the Rust Belt cities didn't do all that well. And Detroit's a classic example of a Rust Belt city, and a one-industry town, basically cars. And as more and more people buying Japanese cars, fewer and fewer people buying American cars, Detroit wasn't doing all that well. So, yeah, have your resume up to speed. You know, oddly enough, one of the things we talk about is – what people want to buy houses is the old thing about getting their ducks in a row. And we talk about credit worthiness. I wrote a blog post. In fact, I think it came out yesterday on our blog, which is on husvarrealestate.com, H-U-S-V-A-R. Just go to husvarrealestate.com, go to our blog, and you can see all of our blog posts. And you should take a look at them. There's some actually cool articles that get written by myself and other people. And in many respects, they're like a little miniature course on real estate. They're designed for not just consumers, buyers and sellers, and people that have questions about different aspects of real estate, but they're also for real estate agents. And they learn a lot of things, too. Having said that, one of the things we talk about often is credit worthiness. I talked about you're a credit to your family. That used to be a thing that people wanted to hear as kids. You know, they wanted their families to be proud of them. Now, not so much. I mean, kids don't have respect for family values, and no one seems to have respect for family values. That's a whole other not a show. That's a whole other lifetime of shows. But with respect to credit worthiness, you know what? None of us wants to be reduced to a number, but in many respects, we are reduced to a number. That FICO score, that Transamerica, Imperium score, all the credit bureaus that check you out, they come up with a number. And what's interesting to me is, you know, a lot of times people, they talk about wanting to buy houses or selling houses, but they talk about getting into the real estate market, and they have no concept of how it works. And you know, it's sort of like if you apply for a job, it would be nice at least to have a resume. They may never use it. I mean, they look at it, but, you know, chances if they did have it, have a request for one, and you didn't have one, you wouldn't look good. So creditworthiness is something, whether you want it or not, it follows you. Some people say, well, I pay cash for everything. You can pay cash for everything. That's a beautiful thing to do. However, it will affect your credit score because you're not using credit. And if you don't use credit, you have a lower score. One of the things I did to myself, and you know what, I should have known better. I mean, I'm in the business, I should have known better. But I had a terrible divorce years ago. And for one reason or another, typically what happens when you have a divorce, your credit gets whacked because somebody's buying things that they shouldn't be buying, and that's a whole other story. And I made it my life to stop using credit cards. And I just did everything. If I couldn't pay for it, I didn't buy it. I started using debit cards for everything. And I use debit cards a lot. However, I wasn't helping my credit at all. I was doing a major disservice for myself. So then I started to actually apply for credit cards. And I applied for, you know, I did it the old-fashioned way. I applied for the credit cards for people that didn't have good credit. And then I got better credit. And then I got different credit cards. Then I got credit cards coming out my eyebrows. I got two American Express cards, of which one I don't even use. I don't even know why I have it. But I did that so that I could enhance my credit score. What's interesting. Okay, I think we're back on. We lost our connection there. The magic of cyberspace. It's just an amazing thing. Okay, so having said that, we're back on the air, and we were talking about credit scores and how they fluctuate. And you know what? I just lost some weight over the last couple of years. I took up about 45 pounds. And people asked me how I did. And I said, you know, I did it very gradually. I said, but the one thing that I did, and I've heard that a lot of people are condemned when they do this. A lot of people that are weight loss and weight management people say, well, whatever you do, don't check the scale every day. I check the scale every day. Sometimes I check it twice a day. And my theory is if I go up a pound, I'll go up 2 pounds, I go up 3 pounds, I can catch myself before it becomes 30 pounds. Really easy to lose 3 pounds. It's really difficult to lose 30 pounds or 40 pounds. And typically what happens is once you reach the 30 or 40 pounds, you kind of give up. And then you say, well, that's it. I'm just going to be a fat person for the rest of my life. And that's not cool. So I check my credit on a regular basis. And one of the things that's interesting is I just took a trip abroad and I used my credit cards, which is what you should do when you travel. You get your best exchange rate and all that kind of stuff. And sure as shooting, my credit score dropped 30 points just because I was using credit cards. Now, once I pay the balances off, and I'll pay the balances off over 2 months when I come back, now that I'm back, and then the credit score will jump back up. So what's a good credit score? What's not a good credit score? What's a good credit score is a credit score that works for you. Now, we hear that some people, you know, minimum requirements are like 620. I mean, I always thought 620 was kind of like a bum at 620, but that's me. You know, I'm in the upper sevens and try to approach 8 when I can, but it took me a long time to get there. But I think at my lowest, my credit score was probably maybe 670, which 680 is actually considered pretty good these days. But something that you can do, and you should do, is if you're looking to buy a house, it's sort of like you should have your resume ready and all that. You should be ready to buy. Almost nobody's ready to buy. Almost nobody has their ducks in a row. And one of the things that you would be required to do if you want to buy a house is, A, you would have to have liquid funds. You need money to put down to start the process. B, you really need to have a job. You need to show that you have some way of paying a mortgage back. Some sort of income coming in. And see, you need to have a halfway decent credit score. Now, I've seen people that had wonderful credit scores. In fact, I talked in my blog entry about this very good friend of mine who had a 745 credit score, which is, I mean, should be golden under normal circumstances. And she was, in fact, turned down for a mortgage because in her divorce decree, which is one of the documents that they requested, in addition to IRS returns, it had the words because she owned a business. She said, and at the upon the dissolution of the marriage, the business may be sold. May be sold. That was the key word, was maybe. And based on that, they said, well, if your business is sold, then you won't have any way of paying back the mortgage. We're not going to give you a mortgage. She had a commitment. They turned her down. They pulled the commitment when they found that. So creditworthiness is important, but there's other pieces to the puzzle that go in to make you have a working resume to buy a house, you know. Is it required to have a resume to get a job? No, but it's not going to hurt you if you have one. And having a good credit score is not going to hurt you. It may not help you, but the thing is, it's certainly one of the pieces in the puzzle. And I am sometimes amazed when people say they want to buy a house, and they have the foggiest concept about getting the ducks in a row. Have money down, have a job, and you have to know what your credit is. They don't even have a concept. You know, it's not very good. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. I mean, it could be in the fives. Well, gee, if you're in the fives, you know what's going on. You haven't been paying your bills. And then we have the whole situation with creditworthiness now where if you actually have a lower score, that the federal government's actually going to subsidize you by taking money from people that have good scores. This makes no sense. And if you're listening and you want to come right through the screen at me, I understand. This makes no sense. The federal government wants to do this, but this is part of the new Bidenflation program that makes a lot of no sense to many people on many fronts. So, but understand how the credit thing works. And if your score is low, it doesn't actually take you that long, believe it or not, to get it back up. You can do it in certainly under 2 years. And if you do it right, you might be able to do it in under a year. You might be able to do it in 6 months. You didn't know where to start. And one of the things that typically happens when somebody buys a house is they come to a real estate agent. They talk to the real estate agent. The real estate agent has I think we're reconnected again. Our producers are just dying on us out here. I don't know what's going on. We must be in some sort of a time vector warp, but we keep losing our connection. However, I think we're back. We're talking about how you can reestablish your credit. Well, the first thing is you go to a real estate agent. Any self-respecting real estate agent is probably going to send you to a loan officer, a bank, so that you can become pre-approved. And in the process of getting pre-approved, they're going to run your credit. That's just how it works. One of the things that real estate agents sometimes have their heads spin around is when they talk to you and they said, listen, have you spoken to any about getting pre-approved? They say, oh, yeah. And they mentioned several, we're not going to mention their names, but they mentioned several online mortgage providers, which for the average real estate agent, they consider them to be the work of the devil, frankly. They're just not, in 99% of the cases, they're not good. And I'm making a blanket statement because I can. This is America. And part of the problem is that they'll give you a pre-approval, a lot of these online, but they don't run your credit. So what the hell good is it? If they don't run your credit, it's truly not worth the electronic paper it's written on. And a lot of times you can have mortgages reps where they'll actually run the credit and they'll still turn you down. Because running the credit is only one piece of the puzzle. It's a big piece, granted. It is a big piece. But as I said to you, my friend who had the issue with the divorce, the language in the divorce decree, was actually it cost her a mortgage. And she had good credit. She had good credit, 745 score should get you a mortgage any day of the week. So it's a piece of the puzzle. Yeah, but what I find intriguing or fascinating is how many people say that they want to buy a house, and none of their ducks are in a row. None. Zero. Zippity-doo. They have no money. They don't have jobs. And it's like they just think that I have a handy guy that works for me. He's a good kid. He's 27. You know, he paints. He does different kinds of things. But he's thinking he wants to buy a house. And he already told me his credit's in the fives. And he doesn't have a real job. He does a lot of stuff off the books. You know? I'm not trying to pull the guy in, but, you know, it's like, well, you have to have some reported income here. So he's going to be able to buy a house in the year 2525 someday, I guess. But I don't know who he's going to buy one from. Because he has, not only does he not have his ducks in a row, he doesn't have any ducks. So, yeah. So creditworthiness is an important piece of the puzzle, and I think you should all be a credit to your family. And how do you be a credit to your family? Well, you have a job, and you're a responsible adult. You pay your bills, and when you pay your bills, you'll have a good credit score. It's quite simple. I feel bad for the people over in Medina. A lot of them are saying, well, gee, what are we going to do now? It's possible a lot of them will go to work or find themselves over at Canisius College, which is great. It's right around the corner from them. A lot of the students that are there, they've been already told that they're going to have to, you know, figure something out for the fall semester. And everything will be fine. I mean, Joe Beamer was on the radio. He was saying, this is terrible. I don't know what I would do if I was in my last semester. You know what? There are a million things that are worse. There are a million things that are worse. And, you know, just having to find another college to graduate, oh, please, cry me a river. But it's an inconvenience, to be sure. And I'm disturbed at the fact that we're losing two colleges in our college town. This, a lot of people don't think of Buffalo as being a college town, but there's actually 30 colleges in the greater Buffalo area. Now, a lot of those colleges, they'll include Bonaventure, which is about 60 miles away. It's in Olean, New York. But they include that as part of the mix. I think Alfred College actually gets figured as the mix, and they're way down there in the southern tier. I mean, the colleges we typically think of in Buffalo would be University at Buffalo. And now we have Buff State, which is a university in itself now. We think of those big boys. Yeah, but you know, the Medinas and the Trocares, we certainly had them in the mix, and now they're gone. Or they will soon to be gone. You know, I don't know, maybe Damon College will step up and pick up their buildings. That'd be a nice thing. Damon's a great college. I went there for my master's degree. And just a delightful school, just delightful. I wish I had gone there for my undergraduate, to tell you the truth. My undergraduate, I went to the big school. I went to State University of New York at Stony Brook, which is a wonderful school, but it was not, as far as I'm concerned, it was not particularly geared toward education. It was much more research-oriented. I can remember walking into the first class with Dr. Calhoun. I remember his name. I don't even know if he's around anymore. Probably isn't. But he'd be up, way up in his 90s at this point. But he said, hi. It was a big theater. It was probably 400 people in the theater. He says, hi, my name is Dr. Calhoun. I remember the speech. Hi, my name is Dr. Calhoun. This is the psychology of personality. This is, he mentioned the teaching assistant's name. This is so-and-so. My office hours are on Tuesdays between 2 and 2:45. If you need to see me, you can see me at that time. Otherwise, you are in this gentleman's good, capable hands. Thank you very much. And we never saw him again. That was the last time we saw him. You know, whatever tests we had and papers, I don't know that he ever even got to look at them or grade them. He just gave them the teaching assistant and he took care of it. I mean, it was a decent class, but it's not what I signed up for. And I was paying for it back then. So it wasn't like, you know, my parents could say, well, gee, it shouldn't be that way. No, I was paying the ticket on that. So I'm complaining because I was the customer. But, yeah, the smaller colleges, smaller, they have smaller classes. They have, I think you're going to get a better education if you go. That's just my theory. And I'm very sad to see, these guys go. You know, it's a quality of life issue. On the other hand, next month we're going to have the Albert Knox Gallery reopen. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to go in there and see this place. Talk about world class. Talk about deal changer. I mean, really puts Buffalo back on the map. And Buffalo was huge on the map back in 1900 for the Pan American Exposition. I mean, when you look at the history of this town, the City of Light, it was truly the City of Light. My favorite building downtown is the Electric Tower, fashioned after the architectural plan of the Lighthouse of Pharos, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, which finally succumbed to an earthquake in the 1700s, 1760, I think. But yeah, so that was the first building that had electric in the world. And it was in the United States. And which town in the United States? In beautiful downtown Buffalo. Yeah, they had the Pan American Express. This was a one hopping town. It had more millionaires than any city in the world. Can you imagine? And it all had to do with transportation, and it all had to do with DeWitt Clinton's ditch, meaning the Erie Canal. The Erie Canal brought goods and services all the way across the state of New York, up the Hudson River, and deposited them in Buffalo. From there, it went out to trains and went out to the entire West. So if you want to know how the West was won, the question is, well, it was won because what city did it come through? It came through Buffalo. All those trains, all the goods and services came through Buffalo, New York. Wells Fargo wagons, they came from Buffalo, New York. So we have our ups, we have our downs, and it all revolves around real estate, believe it or not. Yeah. You want to get into the game, you want to buy. I hear more and more people saying, well, you know, I'm going to wait for the prices to go down. Dream on. I'm already having harsh conversations with a lot of the agents saying, listen, you're going to get people that they're going to want to say, well, you know, just get them out of your car, get them out of your life, move on to the next person. These are people that are just going to get left behind. I know that sounds heartless, but that's reality. There's some people that will step up, and there are some people that will not step up. The people that will step up, we applaud you for your courage. You are the kind of people that make the world a better place. You're doers. You're achievers. I used to love the commercial, the coffee achievers. These guys were all amped up on coffee, but they were doing things. They were opening businesses and doing deals and making things happen. They weren't waiting for things to happen. What is the three kinds of people in the world, the kinds of people that make things happen, and there's the kind of people that watch things happen, and then there's the third person that they look at things, and as they happen, say, can somebody tell me what the hell just happened? You don't know what the hell it was. Yeah, so the coffee achievers, whatever, the people that moves and shakers, they're going to buy houses. They're going to buy real estate. They're going to figure out how to do it. And you know what they're going to do? They're all going to cry in their beer a little bit saying, yeah, I paid more than I wanted to. Yeah, get over it, because a year from now, the people that want to buy from you will pay more than you paid. And that's a simple and ugly reality. I'm working with a buyer right now, and I'm really thinking that the parade has passed him by because he wants to be fussy. Well, fine, he can be fussy, but you better have the economic clout to be able to afford to be fussy. Here's a fellow, I mean, he's Sunny May approved for $180,000. There's not a lot out there for $180,000. And he wants to buy a double. And, you know, the doubles that he wants to buy in the areas that he wants to buy, they're going for $100,000 more. So he thinks he's going to get like a bargain, then somebody's going to sell it to him cheap because of what? Because it's him? It's not how it works. Nothing personal. It's business. And I have nothing to say for people that want to wait. You want to wait? Fine. Don't listen to the show. Don't read my blogs. Don't read my books. Don't read anything. And just suck it up and know that you're going to be the guy that people talk about and say, yeah, you know what? I'm so happy that I bought this place, because the guy, Christian, he was thinking of buying something, and he never did. He's still renting, and I got this wonderful place. I visited my daughter, who bought a house 5 years ago, and I'm just so happy that she bought, because now she just went out and she got a dog. She's got a dog for a place, and her mortgage payment is less than what my tenants are paying across the street. And they have less space, and if they want to have a dog, they got to ask my permission. And I don't know that I'm inclined to say, yeah, go have a dog. But she can have a dog. She can have two dogs. She can have three dogs, as long as she gets a kennel license. But, yeah, she's got a nice little place. And what's interesting is what she paid, it's already gone up. I think it's essentially, well, it's not quite tripled in value in 5 years, but it's like 2.5 times. And she's already refinanced and taken money out. And a payment is still lower with the raise in the interest rate. So, yeah, do what you want to do. If you want to buy, great. You don't want to buy, great. But if you don't want to buy because you're waiting for the prices and the interest rate, stop. Just don't even bother to listen. There's no hope for you. There isn't. I mean, I don't know what you're thinking. And, if you're right and the prices and interest rates both come down at the same time, it's because we have had a total economic collapse, in which case you better make sure that you have guns in your house, because you're going to use them, because you're going to be needing them to go hunting for deer. Oh, you're a vegan? Guess what? last time I looked, there was no vegan sausage made in the woods. You had to eat a deer or something like that. It would be really bad. I mean, talk about economic collapse. The other thing they're talking about is the government defaulting. If that happens, that's a bad thing. That's a really bad thing. But you know what? Unfortunately, we've become too big to fail at this point, and that's not a good thing. At any rate, we're coming up to the roundup on our show, which we had some technical difficulties on. I apologize for that. But, hey, I didn't invent cyberspace. I don't know who did. I think it's a good thing. Generally speaking, it's a good thing. But we'll be here for you next week, and we'll talk about cool things in real estate, things that are not so cool, but things that are real. Ultimately, this is a reality show. This is truly the reality show, as opposed to the reality shows that are not reality shows where it's all scripted. So tune in. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a buzz. You could be a guest, 563-999-3066, and you are a star. How cool would that be? Our producer just whispered in our ear, we got 90 seconds to say how long, Cassidy, and get the heck out of Dodge. But get your ducks in a row. If you're looking to buy, do what you need to do. Talk to whom you need to talk to. Talk to a good real estate agent. You want to talk to me, I'll tell you. And maybe I'm not a good real estate agent in your area. If you're looking to buy in Montana, you know what? I can certainly suggest people that I know in Montana and Bozeman, great people that are in my network. But, yeah, I've been to Montana, so I'd be guessing. I don't want to do that. You want to deal with a person who's a local expert. I'm a local expert in 716 land. So for all our listeners in Buffalo, New York, and Lewiston, and Orchard Park, Southern Ontario, you go up there every once in a while, give me a call. Brendan Cunningham for Real Estate is Cool, as far as I know. And check out our blog, by the way. Go to As Far Real Estate's website and go to the bottom and check out our blog. Every 3 days you'll see a good piece of educational wisdom for you, and maybe you'll have a better sense on how to get your ducks in a row. That being said, it is time for us to say, Herb Albert, where are you now that we need you? So see you next week.
Do the Gaudi thing and all that.